hero you guys had was called an idiot, crazy, a loser. You must break society's status quo. Status quo is normality. It's alive but not living. It's death on a stick, guys. The belief of the individual can overcome thousands of followers. One person with a belief overrides thousands of people with just intent. Your life, guys, is not about making money. It's not about having the titles. It's not about having the hot trophy wife. Your life is about a moment to come. It's inevitable. We cannot stop it from coming. Right now, we have the most valuable asset on earth on our side, time. But it's running out. And right now, you guys are sitting there. And to make that first step towards greatness is the hardest step. But there is one thing harder than that, my friends. It's later in life. As you look back on your life, the windows of opportunity has closed. Your ability is no longer present. And you think back that you could have been great. Right now, you had the ability to never have that debate inside your head. That's the debate you can never win. You can go back and forth, back and forth. There's no verdict. The jury's always going to be in a jury room. It's never going to come back saying, you did okay. What you will do is you will bury that deep inside. You won't tell anyone that you could have been this. You will be second best to your true potential. And you'll live your life fine.
And we are live.
All right, you got me?
Gotcha, John.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Fire for Effect Radio live on VETRS.com. This episode is brought to you by Grenade.com. Before we start the show, we'd like to go ahead and give a real quick shout out and tribute to the fallen Charlie Keating, Navy SEAL killed in Iraq. So, toasting his memory tonight. God bless him and his family, and they will also be in our thoughts and prayers. So tonight, as it's been broadcast, or it's been advertised for almost a week now, we've got the one and the only Mr. Now, how do I say this? Derek Weedy? How do I say that?
You're not too far off. It's Derek Weedy.
I've heard of you somewhere. Real quick, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Derek Weedy is a three-time, now correct me if I'm wrong, three-time Iraq tour Army veteran with the 82nd Airborne who lost his leg in Iraq. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. I don't want to do you an injustice. So, also huge in the veteran community with over 500,000 followers on Facebook, known for very many viral videos out there that are just outright fucking hilarious. And Derek, biggest reason why I respect and love what he does is he speaks his mind and he doesn't give a fuck who he offends. So thank you for coming on the show, Derek. Really appreciate it, man.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Derek, you know, we were talking before the show. He said he's over at a friend's house right now. He got lured into painting and on getting a few drinks. And Derek, what did you say you were going to do?
This was my idea. I love painting. You do these painting classes and you drink alcohol, and I like to play hide the dicks. So I play hide the dicks in these paintings. I'm shooting for 17 dicks in a waterfall tonight. That's my goal.
And
it's perfect. It's too easy because there's rocks on the side of the waterfall. So they're just handing me this one.
Can you put a mermaid with a dick just for me? Just throw it in there.
Put a what?
A mermaid. Just put a mermaid with a little bulge.
A mermaid. Just a mermaid with a bulge. I'll see what I can do. Right. Got to get back to my painting.
You definitely got to post a picture when this painting is finished, man. I got to say this. It's gonna look good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to look artistic and slightly arousing in a weird way. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, I'm the most outrageous one in the class. Right before I walked out, she was talking about the paintbrush and how she said the wetter the better. And I was like, oh, so art's kind of like pussy.
Who would have thought? All this time Picasso was a pimp.
Yeah. I go for, you know, like my strategy for personality is sort of like, the war in Iraq, you know, I'm just here for shock and awe. Yeah, so.
Oh, man. So, again, thank you for being here. So, let's get right into it. About maybe a week ago, was it like a week or maybe 2 weeks ago that you posted the 22 video?
No, it was Friday.
Friday. Okay, last so Friday.
Yep.
And how this view from, or this video from when I saw it, got over 1 million views very quickly and sparked a lot of controversy within the veteran community. And yeah. Once I saw Derek's video, I sat there and was like, finally, somebody fucking gets it. I was like, he's saying exactly what I've been saying for a very long time now. I shouldn't say very long time, but in the last few months, we've started to see a growing trend in the 22 a day thing. Now, let me start this out by first saying this is not Derek or myself attacking the veteran community, as so many people have portrayed it to be that way, which is ridiculous in a sense. Derek's got his own charity, which he helps veterans with. It's free gym memberships, correct?
Yeah, we have a nonprofit. We give grants for gym memberships, personal training, event sponsoring. We've helped build garage gyms, like anything under the fitness umbrella. And then we break the law sometime for crisis management. We don't give a fuck, you know.
See, so clearly, you know, the man's doing something in the veteran world that many people are not, that they're just doing through Facebook. So go ahead and tell us about why you made this video, Derek.
You know, I made it for a couple of reasons. The main reason I made the video is because I'm tired of the language, you know, and it's not so much about the 22 or the 22 push-ups. It's the language. It's the fixation on PTSD, depression, suicide. It's that's all that's talked about. And I feel like, I believe like that doesn't change lives. You know, my approach to serving the community is reminding veterans of their inherent greatness, their potential to be great. And, you know, like if you're just calling water wet, what is that changing? You know, like real life change happens by relighting that fire within a person's soul, you know. And so when all I see when I get on the internet, or like when you see the news, all you see is talks about PTSD, depression, suicide, and like I get it, like I accept that it exists, I've been there myself, but it's not helping anybody. It's not. The current message isn't fucking helping. Right. And that was my point. It's not like just talking about it all the goddamn time doesn't help. You know, there are things that help, and I think changing the message would do more good, you know? I just want the message to change.
So what do you want the message to be?
That we're fucking great. That we're capable of doing anything we want to fucking do. You know, we're not this group of people that need sympathy or pity, you know. Like, yes, we carry the burdens of war, and we have to work through that. It is a struggle. There's like, if you're getting out of the military, you're going to go through certain phases of struggle. But you know, we can make it through that, and we can be leaders in the civilian world. We can be leaders in our community. We just because of the things we've done in life and the things we learned in the military. You know,
you're absolutely right. The thing that I see, though, it's that people are, it's almost turned into, rather than an awareness movement, it's turning into a sympathy movement to an extent. Now, it's not me disagreeing with wanting to help people. That's not what this is about. But the fact is, we all know the VA is flawed. It's not helping. There's no one, I've said this before, there's no one coming to save us. So what that means is veterans do what we do best, which is we take care of our own. We stand up and we, I was talking to What the Fuck Radio the other night, and, you know, I said something to them too. I was like, why not, you know, go back to the old school methods of having a call roster, like calling your brother every day or calling one of your brothers every day to check up on them. Just something more than just changing your Facebook profile picture to, you know, support this. You know, I don't see one pedophile out there saying, you know what, I'm not going to rape this child because somebody changed their profile picture to a Disney cartoon. It doesn't fucking work that way. This is Facebook activism to an extent. Now, there are some groups out there that make donations to veteran charities, which is great. It's admirable. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we've got to start seeing through the number 22 and seeing that, you know, in my mind, I picture a veteran sitting on a bed alone in the dark with a gun in his hand. How do we reach out to him? And it's not doing 22 push-ups. For me, and this is just my opinion, it's prominent figures like yourself and other social media veterans out there standing up and saying, look, this is what I've dealt with. And I know you and I talked about this before. Why not spin the narrative towards success? This is what I'm doing to succeed.
Yep. The funny thing is, like, I've been running a nonprofit for like a year and a half, and I went through a 2-year period where I was on a mission to kill myself, So like I get everything, and the veteran that's struggling the most, that's alone, that drunk with the gun to his head, like, we can't find that person. They're not the ones asking for help. They're suffering in silence. They're suffering alone, And yeah. my strategy with social media is to slowly chip my way into their life. Like, slowly, mm-hmm. Video by, maybe they see a video of me and they hear of me, and so they start following me, and then slowly, just slowly relighting that fire, because the veterans that are truly struggling are almost impossible to reach, because they're not reaching out for help. They don't want to ask for help. So, it's
now,
it's
why do you think they don't want to ask for help? What do you think draws that or makes them feel like that?
Well, like, speaking from experience, when I was there, I didn't want help because I was committed to killing myself, So I've struggled with depression, thoughts of suicide since before the military. So it's not something that came into my life because of my military or what happened to me while I was in the military, what happened to me sort of threw gasoline on a fire. But I've struggled with this my whole life, and I live with it. Like, I've learned to live with it. I've learned to thrive and be functional. And I know when you're at the bottom of the pit and you're living without hope, you don't reach out because you don't want help. You don't want to be helped. You've completely given up. So, the point is, the people that are really struggling are impossible to find. They're not reaching out. So,
so it's more of a kind of an encouraging thing to try and maybe do something to, in a sense, push yourself into their life. I mean, shit, with 500,000 followers, you're already, you're already on your way there by all means. But the thing, this brings up the second issue that was really just aggravating as fuck for me to see. I went and watched this video, and then I always love reading the comments to get, what people are saying. And it shocked the hell out of me. After everything that you've done with the nonprofit, after all the videos you do, all the help you give to veterans out there, free of fucking charge, the people you meet, it's all over media. These people will come on your page and say you're a narcissist, you're a guy who just makes videos with your shirts off, you're full of yourself. These people will turn around, and the moment that you vocalize an opinion that goes contrary to the popular mainstream belief, even in the veteran community, suddenly they attack you. Without any justifiable cause other than the fact that they disagree with you over one issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. If the point of videos on social media is to raise awareness about veteran suicide, it's like, I made a video that has over 1 million views. Like, I did my part there. But what I love about my Facebook page is the community. Like, it is such a unique and rare positive community on social media, like, both in the veteran community and the fitness industry. Like, it's just a really positive page. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, it's very rare that I post something controversial just because I don't want to stir people up. I want to create a positive environment. But sometimes some shit needs to be fucking said, And so negative comments like that are from people who don't know me, from people who are only seeing me for the first time, and they know nothing about my story, they know nothing about my past, they know nothing about my fucking day-to-day life. And the funny thing is like, and this is a life lesson, it's like, if 10,000 people like what I said and gave me positive feedback, and one person says something negative, it's funny how we focus on that one person, and it eats away at our fucking soul. Like, I had a shitty day Saturday because I was taking a lot of that criticism to heart. And I had to work through that and process through that and come to come back to the conclusion that, no, my heart's in the right place here. I'm not a bad person. I mean well. I want to create real change,
Yeah, so, absolutely. It's just now, that people... And now, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm back to that place where I don't fucking give a shit what what assholes like that say. It's the internet, you know. People are quick to say whatever they want to say because there's no immediate threat of getting your skull fucking caved in by a prosthetic leg. You know what I mean?
My question is, have you ever been fucked with a prosthetic leg? Not you personally. You probably answered that, and I don't even want to know the answer to that.
Dude, I heard the funniest thing today. Like, what's the best thing about being an amputee? You only need one girl to make to have a threesome. You know?
Oh, man.
Sorry, that's off topic. But
that's fucking awesome. Fuck no. Dude, this show goes wherever the fuck it goes. I mean, it's like sex with Goat Brian, dude. If it happens, it happens. We're not going to question it. We're rolling with it. There's no consistency in what we do. But, I'm sorry. I got mental images right now of this threesome.
Yeah.
I'm remembering this video you did with Matt Best when Jared's on the couch eating Cheetos. And he's just like, oh, my legs. And you're like, sorry about your leg, bro. It's like, oh, my God. I love that. I love that sick sense of humor that people just don't understand. They don't get it. It's like, oh my God, how could you say such a thing? You're so mean. No, you just don't get it because you're a bitch. Yeah. What? But no, it's funny that you said you don't like posting things to stir up controversy. You have a very positive page. I'm the exact opposite. I love not necessarily stirring up controversy, but I love vocalizing my opinion after I've formulated it when I look into something. And, you know, the thing that I love is the following that I have on social media, which I'm very grateful for, are very they're thinkers. I don't want people to be around me that are just sheep that sit there and they just, like, anything that you say is God to them. It's like speaking from God. It's like, no, I want you to think for yourself. And if I was wrong on something, I want you to correct me. But after I saw your video, I was like, he's right. Again, back to the topic at hand, you know, and it's not the fact that we're bringing awareness. The awareness, it's over. People know what awareness is of PTSD. They knew it was battle fatigue, soldier's heart, this, that, and the other down through time. But again, the reality of it is this. Guess what? We're cut off. We're not getting reinforcements. We're not getting choppered out of here. So guess what? You stand up and you fucking fight. And I think that's what your message is. And that's the message I identify with. I don't want someone to come hug me. I don't want them to put the kid gloves on. I want them to jerk a knot in my neck and say, get the fuck up. You wore a uniform. You're a goddamn soldier. Now start fucking. If you need help, put your pride in your back pocket and get help. And that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, we're all aware of the cultural shift in America, in the youth of America, the victim mentality in America, this idea that somebody else should come and solve your problems for you. You know, like people complaining about fucking everything. And the veteran community isn't immune to that, you know? And what you see is, like, you know, like people blaming the problems in the veteran community on the government or the VA or whatever the fuck. When at the end of the day, on the individual level, you can always fucking choose to change your life. Like, when I was struggling, when I was, like, December 2010, I was done. All right, I was done. I was ready to just, it was at the point I'm like, either I need to kill myself or decide to live my life because I'm done living in this middle ground. Like, I was actually ashamed because I had lived for 2 years. I wanted to commit suicide, and I didn't have the courage to do it. Like, I was ashamed that I didn't have the courage to kill myself, you know? And a buddy helped me, and basically, a guy I served with, you know, and basically, what he told me, and he still preaches this today, is like, look, man, fucking life goes on. You know, like, life goes on. And you know, like, you can either choose to feel sorry for yourself, or you can fucking pick up the pieces and get on with your life, you know? And so,
and that
helped me. That changed my life. Like, that asshole, tough love advice changed my life. It made me feel like a pussy. It reminded me that I'm not a fucking pussy, and it started the process of changing my life. And of course, like, we stayed in touch, and he was like a great influence to me. But I was handling my shit on my own, you know? And so I did that video Friday, and did a follow-up video Sunday where I encouraged the individual to take responsibility and to encourage them to change their life themselves, not to wait for somebody else to come fix your problems, but to change your life yourself. And I got a lot of criticism for that too. And like, there is a stigma with mental health issues in the United States in general and the veteran community. And a lot of guys.
I'm glad you started that part of this conversation, because that is something that has become very detrimental to veteran employment out there in this world right now. Real quick, there's a Brad Norris who just posted. He said, "Your show with Weta has actually changed my mind. I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong. You probably won't read this, but I would like to apologize to Derek." So Brad Norris says,
"I love you, man. Like, look, it is hard. It is impossible to put a two-hour conversation in a video short enough to get seen on the internet. My video Friday had gaps and flaws, and I was judged harshly for it, but I get it. And bottom line, just know that I'm on your side. My heart's in the right place. We're on the same team, you know?"
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the fact that I think if anyone says anything that goes contrary against mainstream, they're automatically branded, "You're out of touch with the veteran world." No, not really. He's probably more in touch with a lot of people out there, because the thing they don't understand and realize is I've had to step back myself from these veteran outreach groups, because they come at you left and right, and you, unless you do your research, you really don't know who they are. You don't know where the funds are going, because there are some groups out there that are they're spamming. They are trying to get money to start clothing brands, and they're using the number 22 to do it. And that right there, hell no. But you know, going back, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The truth about the video I posted Friday is I have like 5 different versions of it, and the first version is just aggressive as fuck, and I attack those people who are making a profit off 22. You know, it's like I have the next objective. We do TNO workouts. We call them TNO, Military Veteran Patriot Workouts. It's just positive language, positive message. And then there's other companies out there who do group workouts, and it's called PTSD Suicide Awareness Workout. Like, fuck you. You're using sexy fucking language to promote your own shit. You don't give a fuck, you know, and you don't understand what actually creates change. You're just using what's popular and cool to fucking promote your own shit, and fuck you. So I didn't say that in my, you know.
But, no, not at all. Not at all. You know, you're absolutely right, dude. Don't, that's the one thing I say. It's like, you know, if this is how I feel and I've thought this out like you have, I don't fucking apologize. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize. But, and I've said it a few times, like, look, I'm sorry for saying it. No, fuck, I'm not sorry for saying it. If you don't like it, go fuck yourself. It's my freedom of speech. It's my page. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. But, you know, it's, you're absolutely right. And these people are out there. And if you come out and you call them out, that suddenly makes you the bad guy. And it's like, you're going to take the high road on it. But I know they're there. But the other thing is, the people out there that will take advantage of you and your kindness in regards to helping them out, I've seen it a lot. And then, frankly, I saw it recently, that people will sit there, and it's kind of like they will sit there in their own piss and shit. And just, you know, I get depression. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But they are, it's kind of like, it's like, look, man, you're an adult. You were in the military. You got to save your own life, because that's what it boils down to. There is no, we're not mind readers. And that's where we need to start taking the more adult approach, saying, look, if you are going to kill yourself, I can't read your mind. And I'm not going to sit here and babysit you. You've got to reach up and get help. And when you do that, we will come to your rescue, you know, without any care in the world as to what you're, you know, what people think of you. We're there to have your back. We do, like, you know, the tattoo, I got your 6. But you've got to take the first step. So that's where I say the kid gloves come off and say, you know, I don't know one person that's worn a shirt that wanted to kill themselves and said, because I put this number 22 on a shirt, I don't want to kill myself anymore. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond the superficial. It goes beyond the materialistic. It goes down into the psychology, and that's where fitness comes in. And that's why I love what you do. Yeah. You are about fitness.
Yeah. You know, like, people, nobody knows, I was actually a psychology major in college. And so people don't really take me for an educated person. But, like, when I posted that 22, when I posted my video Friday and my video Sunday, like, I know what I'm fucking talking about, you know, like, and I know that it helps. I know that it creates change. Like Saturday night, you know, and I encourage the individual to take responsibility and change their life, but we are there to support them. There's plenty of us here in the community ready and willing to support them. I'm not the fucking only one. Like, I'm one of many. There's plenty of organizations. Like, you know, I talked to the guy from 22 Kill. They're, like, 22 Kill, it's like, they're a good organization. Their hearts are in the right place. I wasn't attacking them or what they do. And you know, like, what's funny is I posted that video Friday, and I took a lot of heat, and I was kind of having a shitty day Saturday. And then Saturday night, I got a text message from a guy that needed to talk, you know, and I walked out of the party I was at fucking Matt Best's house, and spent an hour on the phone with this guy, and it's the same, there's only like two or three stories. I've gotten, you know, like one thing people didn't, you know, people say mean things about me from my video Friday, they don't understand that I respond to the messages, the cries for help on Facebook when I don't want to fucking talk to people. I got my own shit, you know, but I respond to those messages. It's like, I'm at a party, but I get a message. I'm like, ah, fuck, I am obligated. I have a responsibility to this person to help them right now in this fucking time of need, you know? And so I went out Saturday, and it's just, you know, I talked to a guy. He's a fucking good dude. Been in the military for fucking ever, and he's one of those people who felt ashamed to talk about feeling depressed or feeling suicidal, you know, like that. And I encourage them to be open and honest about the shit he's going through with the people in his life, and to see a psychologist or a social worker. And he texted me the other day and said he had his first appointment today, you know. I don't know. There's so many, I don't know. If I could fucking help everybody, I would, man. Like, it's,
you know, that's what people fail to understand is one person, one prominent figure in social media, and it's not that you don't want to help them, but you feel like Stretch Armstrong and you're pulled 20 different ways at once, and they seem to forget that you've got your own life, much less your own demons to deal with. And that's when it comes down to check on your brothers you served with, because they know best. They know what you've been through. They're there for one another. But then, you know, what I love it is if you don't answer a message or if you don't respond to someone, suddenly they bare fangs and bite you. And it's like, didn't I just, you know, I was going to help you, but I'm swamped with, you know, 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 other messages. But the fact that I don't stop and help you specifically, now I'm an asshole. And people don't see that side of it. And they just want to go on the attack. Are people telling, you know, leaving comments on your page saying you're out of touch with the veteran community, you're narcissistic? The comments were just unreal. Yeah. One dude even said, you know, Derek, you know, you're back home, you need to shave the beard. It's like, are you fucking serious?
Then they come think I'm out of touch with the veteran community. They're just fucking they
stupid.
Have no idea what I do on a daily basis, you know? And one of the things, and I wasn't as aggressive as I could have been in my videos, because like getting the late night phone calls, you know, like one problem we don't talk about, you know, like the veteran community, it's all the rhetoric is like playing the victim card. Like, a real problem in the veteran community is alcoholism.
Yes. Thank you,
know?
You for bringing that up.
Motherfucking alcoholism. And I don't say that to pick on someone. Like, I did it. I fucking did it. I coped by drinking, you know, when I was on that crash course to suicide, I was drinking a bottle of Jack a day and like a case and a half of beer, you know? And so I speak from experience. Like, I was wrong. I was fucking wrong. I had that victim mentality. I was wrong, you know? And so, and I live up to that. It's like, I fucked up, you know? And like, I'm not ashamed or embarrassed because of, you know, traumatic events in my life. It's hard to handle on your own. Like, I was alone for a long time. Like, the Army sent me to Minnesota when I was stationed at Fort Bragg. I was handling my shit alone, and drinking it away. Like, that's a real problem, but that's a choice we can make. And so, you know, when, you know, so I tell people, it's like, if you're going through that dark phase, but you need to you fix your fucking life. Like, you need to be sober. And even now, to this day, I don't drink whiskey. I don't drink alcohol, because as soon as I do, like, when I'm drunk on whiskey, I get suicidal. I can't control that. Like, I start fucking crying, and I get suicidal. And so and it makes me unpopular at the bars and at parties, and people are offering me shots. I'm like, oh no. And they're like, what the fuck, pussy? You won't take this shot? And I just tell them straight up, I'm like, hey man, nothing ruins a party more than a fucking grown ass man crying, talking about killing himself. Okay? Yeah. And so you have to control that shit, you know? Yeah.
You know, and alcohol also is depressant. People don't seem to understand mm-hmm. that. And going beyond just alcoholism, the VA, for the people that actually do get service there, throw pills at it like crazy. I mean, they are they're putting them on this zombie juice that's basically making them, you know, numb to life. They are walking zombies, and it's not fixing the problem. And the other thing that I want people to understand is people are sitting there saying, you know, 22 a day until none. Look, that's a pipe dream. You're always going to have soldier suicides. It's not going to stop.
Yeah.
It's a cold, hard reality that we have to face, but we can try and do our best to prevent as much as possible. So these people out there with this belief that 22 until none, look, we got to wake up and take a bite out of reality, and it sucks. But the other thing is, you know, I'm glad you brought up the alcoholism, because we talk about glamorization of alcohol while in the service. You know, people are like, you know, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. It means don't go out there and slam, you know, a bottle of Jack for the sake of getting fucked up. Well, now you've got veterans promoting this nonstop, saying as if it's something cool to be a drunk, pissed off veteran, or, you know, medicated up. And the thing is, and this leads me to the point of, well, 2 points. Number one, fitness saved my life. And I know it saved yours. You're doing amazing things with the CrossFit and things like that, and the lifting. But it also goes more in depth into the employment aspect of veterans trying to get out and get jobs and put money on the table. And when we have this perception or the stereotype or the stigma that follows the veteran community that we are already walking time bombs and flawed and ready to blow up at any given moment due to other veterans out there giving us a bad name, it only helps further the issues of depression, feelings of isolation, feelings of being emasculated as a man because you can't provide for your family because you have no job to fall back on, which is also why I preach, while you're in the service, get your education.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about, you know, going back when you brought up VA medications and stuff, like, there's different classes of medications, like narcotics for pain or something. When I was going through my surgery, I was drugged up on narcotics. But as soon as they said, you know, it's time to pull the plug on the surgeries, I came off the narcotics cold turkey, because those do fucking make your brain cloudy. They make your brain cloudy. But medications as far as like antidepressants, I was on an antidepressant for a year, and I was getting regular treatment. Like, you know, I promote treatment. I promote seeing a psychologist. I went through the PPH program at the VA. It's a 30-day inpatient psychiatric program, and it didn't help me because I went at a time when I didn't want to be helped. Like, I was there more or less to avoid jail. But after that, you know, I saw a psychologist twice a week for almost a year, and I was on antidepressants at the time. And so, and I didn't hit on that in my video. Like, I believe in that. I believe, like, treatment coupled with antidepressants works. And there's studies to show it works. Like, on the VA website, there's studies that show, you know, veteran suicides from veterans who took treatment commit suicide at a, you know, a much lesser rate and things like that. Like, I'm a proponent of antidepressants coupled with treatment. Like, you can't do one or the other. You can't just be on antidepressants and not get treatment. They're a pair. You know, but and some people are ashamed to say they're on antidepressants. And I always tell them, and they call me and they say, they're like, oh, I'm, you know, like, I'm ashamed or embarrassed. I'm like, fuck that shit. You're sick. You need medicine. You know, like, if you had an infection, you would go and get antibiotics. Are you ashamed of that? Fuck no. You know, so, you know, that's a physical illness. Your brain is sick right now. You need medication to get you through that hump, you know. And you don't have to be on it forever. Like, I'm not on antidepressants anymore, but they do work when you're at that time when you're living without hope. It keeps you alive long enough to think clearly about choices you need to make and behaviors you need to change your fucking life. You know, and so I do want to say, like, I do believe in that shit, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of these people out there that are abusing it, though. The other problem is the abuse of alcoholism mixed with medications is a bad combo. And then, you know, we talk about going out there, and while you're in the service, we all eat like shit, but we do PT. And you get out, and there seems to be like a sort of belligerence towards doing physical fitness because they say, well, I've got my DD214. I don't have to do it. Well, now you continue to, you know, go down the path of your previous eating behaviors, and you're packing on 50, 60, 100 pounds. And now you're incredibly obese. You're overweight. You're now adding more depression to the current situation you're in. And, you know, the thing is fitness. Loss of pride.
Loss of pride is another big issue in the veteran community that's not talked about, like loss of pride, you know, like, and that's thinking in the past, you know, and it is very common. I get those, you know, being in the veteran and fitness community, those are the messages I get. Like, you know, I was in the military and now I'm ashamed because I've gained 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds and stuck living in the past. Like, I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do this. And that's why we started the next objective and called it the next objective, because it's like, you need that forward thinking. And that's what fitness is great for. Like, fitness is great for you know, you create a 4 to 6 month goal in fitness. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to compete in CrossFit, powerlifting, lose 20 pounds, do a Tough Mudder, do a Spartan race, some kind of tangible goal, and you work towards it. That means you're working towards a future goal. Like, you're thinking and moving towards your next objective. And it's forward thinking instead of being stuck in the past. Like, if you can change somebody's mindset, to stop them from thinking in the past and getting them to look to the future, then they start seeing hope. And hope is the fucking moneymaker.
There you go. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I see. It's the thing that aggravates the shit out of me. It's that when you go to these bars or you go to these places, these hangouts, and you hear people talk about what they did in the past, it's like, look, I get it. I mean, we've all been there. We've all served. We all did our thing. But what are you doing for the future now? What's your next objective? Yeah. Like your charity says, what's your next goal? Because the moment you stop making goals and, you know, going after these things in your life that you're wanting to do and accomplish, you die off because you become stagnant. You sit there and you just stop fucking living, man. You, like I said, your heart is beating, but you're not living. There's nothing there. That fire in your eyes has died out. And the thing, like you just said, is you got to reignite that fire and make them understand that we're not fucking victims. We're not even survivors. We're just fucking fighters. That's all it is. And, you know, this society that we live in today doesn't even promote that kind of mindset anymore, to where we have a veteran mindset that says, I don't fucking care what you think. I'm not going to sit here and bite my tongue to, you know, appease your feelings. If I want to stand up and say, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. But it does require us to move forward from the past. Stop looking over your shoulder saying, hey, you know what? I did this. Got it. I got it. You served. You're proud. We are all proud. But my past does not define my future. You know, there was hundreds of thousands of us in Iraq and Afghanistan. We were all there. But now, what are you doing now? That's what truly matters.
Yep. I tell people that. I'm telling, like, I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care what you did yesterday. I care about what you're doing today that'll make you better tomorrow. Yeah. You know, it's like,
and, you know, break that down. Let's break that down to a more serious sense. Like, if people would just sit there and ask themselves that, and not just like one of these feel good quotes about, you know, life's not about, you know, their life's dancing in the rain. Okay, look, I get it. It's a feel good quote. But what are you physically doing to better yourself tomorrow? And, you know, and it's the same with the 22 mission. What are you doing to help prevent soldier suicide? Are you actually talking to a buddy? Are you talking to a brother? Or are you just changing a Facebook profile? And that's my point. It goes beyond Facebook activism. It goes beyond challenging somebody to do 22 push-ups and saying, look, what if that veteran doesn't feel like doing 22 push-ups and he just wants to fucking talk? Talking is free. It's therapy in a sense.
Facebook activism, just call it slacktivism. That's what we call it, slacktivism.
Slacktivism. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it blows my mind, man. But going back to the other point of some of these veterans in the community today are giving us a bad name by perpetuating a stereotype or the stigma that we are, you know, flawed, that we cannot function in society. And that makes it very difficult for a young vet to get out and get a job. And this I've told this story a few times, and I'll tell it again. My brother, I'm not going to name his name, or one of my brothers, so that way people don't know if I have 10 or 20, works in a high-level corporate position. And I was talking to him one day, and this is a very well-known company. And I said, what's your veteran outreach or your veteran hiring program like? He's like, to be honest with you, it's just we don't really do it that much. He's like, well, why? He said, well, we had, you know, three veterans that we hired. One was a former officer, and we had two previous that were enlisted. And so the officer basically had a very huge sense of entitlement and didn't understand how corporate world worked. The two other enlisted ones were very vulgar, and they couldn't function in the workplace, so we had to fire them. So with that, we need to start holding ourselves accountable, saying, you know, look, while we were in the service, you know, we weren't a part of the civilian community. But guess what? When you get out, you are going back to the civilian community, and you have to adjust to an extent to them because you need them for your jobs.
John, you got a caller calling in.
You got what?
You have a caller calling in.
Say that again, Dan.
You have a caller.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
You got Sean. Sean, welcome to Fire for Effect Radio.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got Derek on the line.
All right. Hey, I got hung up, man. I got stuck in one of those meetings that was unplanned.
Oh, I got you, man. Go ahead. Go ahead for Derek.
Hey, what's up, Derek?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, man.
I'm doing good.
I really enjoyed your video because, honestly, man, the problem is that us as a veteran community, us in the military, honestly, we're victimizing ourselves, man. Like, it's a shame. Like, that's what we've become. Like, that's the only thing anyone wants to focus on is feel sorry for me because I'm in the military or I deployed. You know, like, and I see it every day in amongst the ranks, man. It's not even just the veteran community. It's soldiers in the Army right now, you know?
Yeah. It's not exclusive to us. It's a cultural shift in America, but man, we're better than that. And the funny thing is like there's a difference between what I see on social media and the news and what I see in the real world. What I mean,
right?
I do like my TNL group workouts and stuff, and like the veteran community, like we're happy, like mostly happy people, and so it's just. And I hate how fucking sexy and cool PTSD, depression, and suicide is online. Like, I have this analogy. It's like 10 years ago, there's this guy at the bar, and he's dressed up in his military gear, and he's telling stories of how he was a Marine sniper and talking about all his confirmed kills. And the truth is, right. Like, he wasn't a Marine sniper. He didn't have any confirmed kills. But back then, it was cool and sexy to be a fucking hard-ass killer. And
right.
now it's cool and sexy to have PTSD, depression, and suicide. Like, we're making it cool, and that's why I posted the video. It's like, change the message. There's psychology behind that, you know? It's like, change the message. You know, like, is it real? Does it exist? Yes. But can we instead focus on talking about, you know, like, real life change? Yeah. And I'd rather see more positive shit than all this negative shit.
I definitely agree, man. Like, I've fucking battled with my own fucking demons. And honestly, mm-hmm. The funny thing is, you know, like, all the shit I've ever been through, like, the easiest part is deploying. The easiest part is, like, that's easy over there. Like, back here, you know, having your fucking wife cheat on you or, like, because now I got drugs and I got alcohol and I got women. And those are, like, the three things that are fucking my weakness. And I don't know how to fucking be a grown-up and do them.
You're,
you know, the right way.
You're basically a band member of Motley Crue. You know,
exactly, man. Exactly, man.
I tell people this: like, military life is easy. Being in the military is fucking easy because we have purpose and we have meaning. We wake up and somebody tells us where we need to be, when we need to be there, what we need to wear. We get out, and in the civilian world, it's hard because we are in charge of ourselves. We have that burden of freedom, burden of choice. We have to create our own existence. Nobody's telling us what to do, when to be there, what to wear. It's difficult, but what did we learn in the military? Like, we learned how to overcome obstacles, to face challenges.
Right.
Like, transitioning is a fucking challenge. It's hard as fuck, but we can fucking do it. We can fucking do it. And that's what I'd rather talk about than anything else.
Change the narrative.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing I like, you know, that I saw, like, Matt Best, I saw you do, like, you know, you guys were, because at the end of the day, and it's a majority, it's, like, everyone wants to say combat arms. I'm still not a big fan of using combat arms. Like, honestly, it's the infantry mindset. Like, we think fucked up shit's funny, you know, like, We don't have the same sense of fucking humor as the rest of the world, and that's okay. And people are like, wow, you guys are fucked up, but at the end of the day, like, you know, like, that's something that you guys brought with, like, the videos and, like, the Arc 15 stuff, like, all that stuff, you know, it's like, wow, like, these dudes get it. Like, they're, we all have that mindset. And like Burke, for example, everyone's like, oh, my God, he's so shocking and shit. I'm like, fuck, if they only heard some of the shit that we say when you know, cameras aren't rolling or when like, Jesus.
You know, it's like, funny to say that. Sean and I served together. We were in Afghanistan together, the 101st together, and it's funny that you brought that up, man, because, it, you know, it's still, for a while, I didn't understand. It's like, why are people so shocked with this? But you just kind of made me realize why. It's like, this is normal to me. This is how we think. This is how we operate. This is how we talk. And so you just saying that kind of really opened me. I was like, oh, that's why I'm so shocking. I got it. Okay.
Well, you know, but it's something to take pride in, because it takes a special kind of person to volunteer for the military during a time of war. It takes a special person to volunteer to jump out of airplanes, to fucking join the infantry, join the fucking war machine. It takes a special kind of person to do these things. Like, we're different, and that's what makes us great. Like, we volunteered to do these really fucking, you know, these things a normal human being doesn't want to do or can't fucking do. Like, yeah, we're different, right, in a good way, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because me and Burke, we went to drill sergeant school together, and I had a very, very difficult time in that school because I'm just kind of an immature fucking person, and I like to do immature shit, and, you know, like, so I was always in trouble, and I had a very difficult time on the trail because, honestly, it was like I was in an environment where now it's not like the people that are above me have that same mindset. They have this fucking bullshit, like, political fucking correct mindset, and they're like, you're fucking crazy, man. Like, you got problems. So I go, you know, I go to a doctor, and they give me a fucking test, and I got to fill out answers. And next thing you know, they're like, oh, you're a fucking sociopath, and you're a fucking manic depressant, and all this crazy shit. And I was lucky enough that I had another psychologist, like, sit down with me and talk to me, and, you know, she was like, that's bullshit. She's like, I can give any dude that's in your line of work this fucking test, and they're going to come out sounding like they're fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah. Cause
I'm like, it's like, do you go out and spend a large amount of money, you know, on the spur of moment? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Do you get shit faced, you know, just for no reason? I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. Like, and that makes me like crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then they'll throw in some weird questions, like, you like flowers, or, and you're like, what the fuck? I don't know if I like them. I'm like, what kind of question is that? It's just bullshit. Like, that's what we become, like, here, fucking, and you're right, and honestly, it is a cultural thing. Like, everybody wants to be a part of a movement now. And this 22 thing, it's a movement. Last, it was fucking ALS, you know, everybody was dumping water on themselves, but nobody was donating money to anything, you know, like, yeah. It's like, hey, fucking check out, like, dudes are killing themselves, but, you know, like, that's all we're going to talk about. Like, we're not going to talk about, you know, like, for example, shit, hell, fucking a couple weeks ago, one of my buddies and me were out, and there was this chick, and she was at the bar, she was fucked up, you know, like, nobody talks about, like, us making sure this chick made it home so nothing bad happened to her, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's the shit that we do, like, we are savages, but at the end of the day, we try to do what's fucking right, even though we're savages.
We're savages in a war environment, but here, like, we learned honesty, integrity. We learned what it means to be a good fucking selfless person. And, you know, like, selflessness is one of the, like, that's something we should talk about more. And that's a problem I see in the veteran community. It's like, it's that hole in our heart we have to fill, you know, like, when we were in the military, we were of service to others. We were a part of something bigger than ourselves. Like, service to others is a huge thing. And I remind people all the time, it's like, there's more ways to serve than just wearing a uniform. You can, you know, like, I serve my community in my way, and it brings my life meaning and purpose. Like, I have, like, when I fuck around on the internet sometimes, and that's all well and fun. Like, you have to have fun with life. But at the end of the day, what brings my life meaning and purpose is helping people, you know?
Right.
So, like, yeah, we do have that. That's one of the things we learned in the military that is a huge asset that we can use, and it doesn't get fucking talked about.
Yeah, I agree, man. We focused on just, you know, hey, it's what's the next cool thing that everyone's gonna do on fucking Facebook so they can get likes and, you know, like, It's just fucking, it's just sad. We're not talking about it. I mean, it's the same, like, fuck, the military's the exact same way, you know? Like, so we just did Sharp Week, and somebody, you know, this dude stood up. We had this conference, whatever, and it's sitting there, you know, the briefs that you get. And the dude stood up, and he was like, honestly, we're focusing on all the negative shit. We're not fucking talking about the positive shit, because the positive shit doesn't get fucking reported. Yeah. You know, like,
you know, as far as internet campaigns go, I just asked somebody, like, hey, without using Google, where's Kony right now? Where's Kony? You know, like, remember that, right? Internet campaign. I'd be like, hey, without using Google, where is Kony? Tell me where Kony is. You know, like, right. Tell me where he is, what he's doing. Did we
you know,
him?
I'm pretty sure,
right.
Derek, you went to, like, see a psychologist, and they, you know, they showed you the panties. Like, what do you see? All you're going to say, I see a bunch of dicks. I see dicks.
I see a lot of dicks, yeah. Yeah, right. They showed me a self portrait, and like, oh, I see like at least 17 dicks right there.
I mean, I was having a good fucking time. It was funny because I was actually in the nut house and fucking down in fucking Augusta, and I made the fucking seven list. And I was like laughing, and I'm like, this is the Arby, right? This is like perfect. Like, I'm like, I'm so fucking crazy, but I'm like, apparently I'm doing something right, because I can't fucking, one, I don't have a very good filter on my fucking mouth. I just say whatever the fuck I think. Like, there's nothing that stops me from being like, is this going to fucking negatively affect me in some way? And I think more people need to have that shit, you know, like,
well, in the civilian world, you need tact. Tact is a skill. Like, tact is a... It's a skill. Like, it's cool to say whatever you want, but everything, you know, language has consequences, and you can manipulate language to get a certain outcome, you know? So you can say whatever you want, not give a fuck, or you can say something calculated and get an outcome you want, and that's better.
Right.
So,
Well, Sean, I gotta cut you off, man. We have more callers. We're going to try to get to Derek, but thank you for the call, bro. It was good to talk to you again, man.
All right, man. It's good talking to you. You got to take it easy.
You be safe, bro.
Nice talking to you, Sean. All right, man.
You got some time, Derek, to stick around, or are you busy?
I'll stay.
Okay. We'll take a few calls, and then you can bounce if you'd like, man, because I know there's a lot of people that would love to talk to you.
All right. If you want to call in, the number is 516-740-1070. That's 516-740-1070. You listen to Fire Effect on vetrs.com, brought to you by Grenade and InTheArenaFitness.com.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about that as far as the focusing on the positive, because you're absolutely right. That's just like mainstream media, just like in the news story today about, you know, the Navy SEAL who was killed, and all the media puts out there is that he was the grandson of a banker that did some shit back in the 80s, and it's like, why would you tarnish? And I wouldn't even say they tarnish it. I mean, the veteran community is going to hold this guy up in high regard and honor his memory. But why the fuck would you even post something in regards to the death of this Navy SEAL and the, you know, what his grandfather did? Why would you even talk about that? But again, it draws people. Attention. It draws attention. It draws ratings. And they're basically whores of the media.
You know what I did a while back that changed my life forever? Stopped watching the news. I stopped reading news articles online, and I adopted a 3-foot circle. It's like, if I can't touch it, if I can't control it, I don't think about it. And some people would say, oh, well, you know, like, what if Martin Luther King did that or something like that, you know? But I'm like, I have this, like, something that guides my life is saying, you can't change the world, but you can change the world around you. Like, I have this 3-foot circle. So I'm not even privy to what you just said. I have no idea what's going on. I focus on the world around me and how I can serve that, you know, like how I can be of benefit to others in my 3-foot circle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Little tidbit of advice.
Everybody's got their own things that they go by, man. Mm-hmm. And if that works for you, again, I have to catch myself sometimes, because I'll see things in the media and it's just like, you mother. And then I was like, man, I woke up today in a bad mood. Why? Because I'm focusing on this shit. And it's hard for me, man, because I'm outspoken when I see these things, and it's just like the fire in me. You see something and say, I've got to say something. I've got to stand up for this cause, because if I don't, no one will. And that's where it comes from. So I see both sides of this coin, Because a lot of people first came at me, it's like, you know, John, you need to stick with fitness and motivation. It's like, why? Why can't I do whatever the fuck or talk about whatever the fuck I want and draw light to some of these issues and try and help people? But again, it does become overwhelming and it can influence you. I mean, like you talked about reading the negative comments, it can kind of eat at you.
It does.
It's, you know, like the news will make you mad. And with everything in the world, like if you're looking for hatred, you're going to find hatred. If you're looking for racism, you're going to find racism. But if you're looking for positive shit, you're going to find positive shit. Stick to the fucking positive shit. You know?
It's like, true. No, it is
just
true.
The news just makes you mad. It just makes you mad.
Yeah.
John, I'm going to talk. I've been listening a lot to what you guys are saying and the caller as well. And I'm not playing devil's advocate here. I'm just going to just try to make one point is, and I agree 100%. I think the profiteering on the 22 and PTSD is out of control. And I know within the veteran community, everybody's sick of it. And that kind of all that stuff kind of masks the few organizations and the few people out there that are actually trying to bring awareness, which there's still people that have no clue even what that number means, even though it's beaten to death in the veteran community. And you know the ruck marches, some of the push-up challenges, stuff like that. I think some people are doing that in the hopes of getting through to that one person who may know that one politician who may actually step up to the game and say, "Yeah, we have an epidemic in this country that needs to be taken care of," and that will push the bill that pumps more money into the VA system, which will fund more psychologists and more treatment programs other than pumping people through full of pills, and that might help the situation. Like you were saying, Derek, how, you know, it's a proven fact that people who go to the programs, who see the psychologists, are less likely to commit suicide. And I think if the politicians, you know, I'm not blaming them or anything like that, but if the right person gets to that right person that gets to that right person that pumps the money into the system to get this and get people to the help without being on a 9-month wait list, you know, I think that's what they're trying to do.
It promotes a mentality where you're waiting for somebody else to fix your problems. Like, you know, the VA isn't a perfect system. Maybe it's an overwhelmed system. If a person is thinking about suicide, they can walk into any hospital and say, "I want to fucking kill myself right now." Any fucking hospital, they can walk in and say, "I want to fucking kill myself right now," and they'll take them in, you know, take them in. Like the awareness raising, waiting for a politician to sign a bill to improve the system, it's promoting this mentality that someday is going to come by and fix your problems. And that's this cultural shift in America, this idea that if you scream loud enough and long enough, somebody is going to come by and fix your problems for you. But the truth is, like, we as individuals, we have the capacity to take control of our fucking lives. We do. Like, I don't care who you are, where you are in life, what your problems are. Every day you can wake up and just decide, like, this is it. This is as shitty as my life is ever going to get. I want to fucking change.
Gotcha.
You know, like it, and it could happen on a fucking idle Tuesday, you know? So like, I get it. I understand it. I think there's a better message.
It does bring up the point though, that the message does need to go out there, and you know, people say, how do we change it? Well, then I think we need to get involved more in the political system of it, having more veterans taking office and trying to help change. Now, I mean, because I've spoken with so many people who are waiting on surgeries and this and that and the other from the backlog of the VA. This does need to be addressed. But I get what you're saying as well. So it's kind of like, we do need to make the voices heard, spread the awareness that, look, we need to help get these people, get this VA unclogged. We need to fix this process so people can, you know, get seen, get prescribed their medications if that's what it's needed, to get the surgeries to help victims fix themselves, while at the same time doing everything you can to help yourself survive.
Yeah, it's a matter of get the funding to get the more programs out there, but it's up to that individual to get off their ass and do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But,
and you know, like, and waiting on politicians or government, like, that's its own game. They're playing their own game, like, and it's not bad or good or anything. It is what it is. Politics is its own fucking game. So waiting on government to fix something in your life is just it's wasted time.
They're
playing their game, and it's fine. They have to play their game. So just accepting reality, you know?
Do we have any callers, Dan?
We got some calls coming in here. We got the 603. 603, welcome to Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
What's up?
I'm just calling in. I hear everybody talking about we need to get veterans set up for this, for that. What about veterans actually taking a chance and pushing it, you know, standing up, just like we have the stand up going on that goes with the whole political system, you know, whatever. Just make a stand. Stand up.
What do you mean?
Be veterans.
Hello?
You there? Did we lose him?
Yeah, he cut off.
Oh. All right, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead.
What he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, either. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, we got caller. What's going on? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, it's Corn Dog.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
Corn Dog.
Yeah, I'm here. I've just been listening for, I think, the entire show actually, and really just wanted to say that holy shit, you are serious, John.
Serious about what?
Like, just in general, I mean, the most levity I've heard out of you is when we were talking about dicks and paintings.
Well, when it's a serious issue, you know, it's not something I want to joke around the whole time. It needs to be discussed in a very logical manner because, I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, you're going to have to act serious sometimes. But yeah, I do cut up from time to time. I've been known to cut a rug.
If you're going to be logical about it, you still can bring some levity to the table. I mean, like, as you were saying,
that's not me. That's how I do things. I'm very passionate about these things, and when I, you know, I joke from time to time. But again, if I want to discuss something and take it very seriously, that's just how I am. You know, trying to change me isn't going to, you know, trying to turn somebody to fit more of how you think they should be is not what I support whatsoever. Derek is very funny. Derek does it his way. I do it mine. I'm not knocking his whatsoever. But again, we both have our own way of, you know, pursuing what we love. So. But thank you for the call. Anybody else?
Anybody else? 516-740-1070. That's 516-740-1070. Yes, that is Nassau County, Long Island. Somebody always asks that. Yes, it is. That is your answer.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, again, I can't believe the amount of flack that has been thrown up about this rather than people seeing the message for what it is. Instead, you know, they just want to attack viciously, you know, without any thought into what the message is you're saying. And it's like if people could just see through and understand the message, it blew my mind to see how many veterans, like, I wouldn't say turned on you, but they just misunderstood and attacked you. And it's like that's not right.
But, you know, like, I don't focus on that, though, because, like, maybe, you know, over the weekend, I got, like, 24,000 new followers, and the amount of positive feedback greatly outweighed the negative feedback. Like, and I knew, posting that video, it wasn't easy for me. Like, I didn't fucking enjoy it, and I knew there was going to be criticism. The internet is the internet, you know? Like, you post something controversial and thought-provoking, but some people aren't on the internet to think. You know, their minds are already made up about everything, and it is what it is. Like, it ate away at me Saturday, but what's today, Wednesday? Like, I'm good now. Like, I'm good. You know, like,
yeah.
It doesn't bother me. You can't, it's a big world. There's a lot of people in it. We have different thoughts and opinions, and that's okay, you know?
Some people just kind of take, it gets to a point where, you know, you become so ingrained in social media because in a sense it's what you do a lot of, that it gets misunderstood as that's life. And it's like, as soon as you put the phone down or turn the computer off and you walk outside, it's like, wait a minute, the world isn't ending.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook has a tendency of making you feel that way. But when you close it down and say, what the fuck was I afraid of? Or what, you know, and that's, you know, I totally get where you're coming from because I go through it to myself at times.
Yeah, shut your Facebook down for a week, and guess what happens?
Yeah.
Your life still keeps going.
Yeah, you know, and from I, I learned a lot of lessons from Andy Frisella, and one of the things he taught me is, like, 50% of people are going to like you. Like, 50% of people are going to like you. The other 50% of people aren't going to like you no matter what you fucking do. Like, no matter what you do, 50% of people aren't going to like you. And instead of focusing on that 50% that don't like you, spend your time focusing on the people that do like you and how you can provide service and bring value to their life. You know? And that's...
Yeah.
And that, like, and I have to remind myself of that because, you know, for every 1,000 comments with positive feedback, if one person comes in and says something negative, that's the one comment I focus on, we as humans focus on. We focus on that one negative comment. And yeah. So I always make it a point, like, I don't take the bait. You know, it's like I sit there and look at it, I stew on it for a few minutes, and then I remember, oh, right. 50% of people aren't going to like me no matter what I fucking do, you know? Like, okay, you know, and I don't try to win somebody. I don't spend my time or energy trying to win somebody over that no matter what I say or do. They'll fucking never like me anyways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny that you put it that way because I think sometimes deep down inside there's this need to want to be liked, but then when you come to the realization, it's like, that's never going to be possible. You know, it's like, oh, fuck it.
That's the two, like, universal motives. Like, that's what we all care about. Like, we want to know at the end of the day that we're a good person and that people like us. Like, that's,
yeah.
We need to know that for happiness. But so wisdom is accepting the fact that some people just aren't going to fucking like you. And that's okay. And that doesn't make them a bad person. That doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them different. You know?
Yeah. I just know I'm an asshole, so that's why I have people that hate me, so I'm fine with that.
If you're an asshole that does good, that's perfectly okay. You know?
Do we have any more calls, Dan?
Yes, we do. We got the 317. 317, what's up? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
Hello?
Hi.
What's up? Hey, this is for John and Derek. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Yeah.
Great. I just wanted to tell you guys, love what you guys do, support everything you guys have to say. You say what's in your hearts, and that's all that fucking matters.
Thank you, bro.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Really appreciate that.
I seriously appreciate that because it's on the internet. Like, I appreciate being reminded that I'm not just another fucking asshole on the internet. Like, some people right. do say I do what I do just for celebrity and fame, and I don't give a shit about that. I care about individuals. Thanks for taking the time to call and just say something nice, man. Thank you.
No problem. You guys take care. Have a great night.
Appreciate
thanks,
you
brother. Saying, you too.
We got anybody else, Dan?
Cool. Yep, we got him. We got the 320. 320, what's up? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Justin from Minnesota. How are you guys doing?
Justin from Minnesota. Where are you at in Minnesota?
Elk River.
Okay, I'm going to be up in the Twin Cities at the last week of May here.
Oh, really? Right on, man.
Yeah, I'm from St. Paul, man.
Yeah, I know you are. We're all big fans of you down up here, man.
Cool.
I've been watching you for a long time.
I miss the North, dude. I miss grass. I live in Texas now where all I see is fucking
dirt. Oh, yeah, dude.
I
was stationed in El Paso where you guys are at now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So you know. Cool. What's up, man?
Everything's dead. Well, what I wanted to touch on earlier, we were talking about pride, and that's one of the hardest things for us veterans, I believe, in my opinion, is pride, swallowing it, asking for help. I got out of active duty in 2010, came back, ended up getting divorced, drowned in a bottle for a long time, and I finally picked myself up and brought myself to treatment and went to the PTSD track and went through alcohol treatment or whatever at the VA. Yeah. But yeah, pride, man. That's a lot of us, like, we're soldiers. We don't want to stand up and ask for help because we feel we're too tough for that. You know, so that's what I'm trying to say is we need to learn to swallow our pride because there's a lot of soldiers out there who still won't ask for help. I mean, I got buddies that won't. I mean, because they want to be strong for everybody else, but not themselves.
Yeah, and it goes. It's not exclusive to us as veterans. Like, that's a fucking man thing, right? It's a man thing, you know.
Yes.
And that's it'll be hard for people no matter what. And so, you know, I
you know, with the things I do on the internet, like, I'm always open and honest. Even at times, I don't fucking, like, I don't like talking about being depressed and talking about suicide like that. I don't enjoy talking about that kind of shit, but I do it because somebody, like, people, because the internet is what it is, like, sometimes I get put on a pedestal. It's like, oh, Derek is unstoppable. Derek's unbreakable. It's like, no, I'm fucking human, okay? And I know how to ask for help. I know how to admit, you know, like that I'm depressed and I'm not embarrassed or ashamed about it. And so I hope that me doing things like that, it's like, fuck, if Derek can be this person and still be depressed and sad sometimes, like, fuck, like, it's not a big deal,
No, like, that's why we like you up here so much. Like, you are Motley Crue in Minnesota, to be honest, to the veteran community, and I have a lot of civilian friends that follow you for fitness motivation. My nephew, he's in college in Bemidji, but he follows you for fitness motivation because he was a swimmer his whole life, but he follows you for that motivation, you know? And another thing I love about you, man, you're humble as shit. You know what I mean? You're not out there bragging about yourself. You're out there strictly just to help everybody else.
That's
how you carry yourself.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, like, I am humble because for 3 months of my adult life, my mom wiped my ass. You know? When I was non-weight bearing in the hospital, I was like shitting in a bed in a bedpan, and my mom would have to wipe my ass while I held myself up on the bed. It's like,
traumatic shit. Like, what you went through, that makes you humble.
Yeah.
You know. We love you up here, man. For real.
Thanks, man.
I love John too, by the way.
I'm still here.
We love John. Minnesota, but whatever.
What are you doing? What are you doing Memorial Day weekend? What are you doing May 30th?
May 30th? My daughter and I are probably going up camping with my dad. Well, on the actual 30th?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll probably be back by then. But
I'm doing a Murph in Excelsior. You know what the Murph is?
Oh, yep. I know the Murph. Yep.
So we're doing the Murph in Excelsior. I'm going to be posting the details for that event here soon, so I'm gonna be up there doing that. It's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be a good day, you know. Memorial Day being what it's supposed to fucking be about.
Exactly. About the ones we lost, not the ones that are still here, but the ones we lost.
Cool, man. I just wanted to
confused all the time.
Say that. So if you're free and we can shake hands, if you can make it, that'd be cool. If not,
that would fucking make my day.
Cool. All right, bro.
I watch you guys and Beth and John, all them, all the time. But yeah, you're great motivation, man. Both of you are.
Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for the call. Awesome.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, we got the 810. 810, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, bro?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey.
Hello? Yep.
You're on.
Yeah, I was just calling in. Hello?
Cool. Yeah, you're on live, brother. What's up?
All right. Just trying to hit a couple topics on there and shit because, you know, friggin' everyone got, like, some pretty good valid points, you know, and going back and forth, you know, chiming in on, you know, especially the 22 a day, you know, friggin', and I think a lot of the veterans are, like, missing a lot of the good key points, you know, friggin', especially, like, the wars, especially the new veterans, you know. I myself, probably just like you, John, because, like, you were a drill sergeant. You know, I was a drill instructor and all that shit. We all done our time, and we all get out, and we got that whole readjustment phase. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of us, we're used to that, like, well-oiled machine, you know, especially, like, when we're gearing for war or even when we're training other individuals. You know, we get so used to it and embodied in it that when we step out, you know, we're not used to this life, you know, that whole readjustment. But what everyone's forgetting, and, you know, even Banda Bravo is like, whatever, as a veteran, is that no one held a gun to your head when you enlisted. You know, you made that voluntary decision, especially now. There was no draft. There was no nothing. It wasn't like back in the day, you know. So you got, you know, dig deep. Remember that we all made this decision, you know, to join. Now, whatever comes after that, you got to remember there is helplines. You know, even after I got out after 9 years, medically forced out while I was on the drill field, you know, after training 500 recruits at 9 years, lost my career right before I picked up staff. You know, that's a big shock. No one wants to do that. You know, freaking no one wants to lose their career. No one wants to be forced out. No one wants to, you know, be pushed out of their career that they're working hard towards. But, hey, sometimes that's how it is. Now, others, yeah, they get out, they got problems, you know, but you still got to pick up your shit and move forward. You know, you can't dwell on the others. And just like your point the other day, if you even have those problems, that don't mean it's anyone else's fault. You know, that don't mean take these pills, like you're saying, drain yourself with alcohol because that's a depressant. You know, like, you're going to drink, that's your choice. But, you know, putting a gun in your head, that's not good for anyone either. You know, like, shit, I went and, because I've been dealing with the VA system, with the whole PTSD shit, you know, deploying way back, you know, OIF 6-TAC-8 and all that shit. And because the VA system, they ain't helping. So what I did was just go and check myself into the hospital because I got my nut sack and I was like, okay, well, this is no one else's problem. I got a problem that I can't fix. No one else can fix it. I can't put that on my family. So it's go and tell them, like, hey, these fucking pills aren't working. This shit ain't working. The alcohol definitely ain't going to help me. So, you know, it's not blaming anyone else.
Yeah, man. Good for you. Like, dude, respect, you know? Like, I respect the shit out of you. And that's what I'm saying, you know? People told me I was spreading the wrong message that the individual can take control of their life. No! Because of stories like that. You know, like you were in the shit and you handled your shit. You know, it's possible. It's fucking possible. That's a cool story, man.
You're absolutely right. He got cut off, but thank you for the call, sir. Greatly appreciate it. And, you know, it makes some very valid points, you know, and, you know, also this will defend. So we got any more calls? Let's
I'm going to take off here.
Okay.
Well, I got to get back to I'm sorry. Like I'll do this again, you know, but
absolutely. Man, it's absolutely. We really appreciate it. Thank you for being here and for answering the questions. It really means a lot to us, man. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
No, thank you, man. We'll talk.
Yeah, will do, brother. Go have fun.
All right, brother. Yep. Have a good one.
Later. So once again, Derek Wieda with, you know, a deeper explanation of why he made the video he did. And I think people just needed a better understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a very good explanation of why he did it. So let's go ahead and take maybe one or two more callers. And then you want to go ahead and end this show for the evening, Dan?
Yes, sir. All right. Let's see. If you want to give us a call 516-740-1070. It's 516-740-1070. Yeah, I know. I apologize. I know a lot of people trying to call in. Sometimes these phone lines get flooded up. So we're trying to get everybody on that wants to try to call in. Get in there. Just bear with us a minute.
Damn it, Dan. Why do you keep fucking this up?
It's not me. It's the floods of calls. Like 30 of them hit at the same time.
Jeez. Do we have any callers right now, or did we drop them all?
It's, here we go. 321, what's going on? Hello?
Man, it is crazy trying to get on here.
What's going on?
Not much. Dude, I haven't been able to keep up with it because I've been trying to call in for the last 20 minutes.
Who's this?
Oh, hey, I'm Jones from JTOTS. I just wanted to call in real quick and, like, tell you, dude, you say great things. You know, a lot of the stuff that you say is in line with a lot of the stuff we say, and you know, we agree with it. You've made yourself into a lightning rod for a lot of criticism, and we get that. But I'll say this much, John, when you posted your progression picture the other day, dude, that floored me. I was like, holy shit, this dude came back from that. You know, now you see why, like, that should be what people think about. Like, this is why he's so intense and so passionate about what it is because you've lived it.
Well, you know, it's not just that, man. It's, and to be honest with you, it's hard to explain. It's not the fact that I did it. It's I want people to understand, and I'm very passionate about this self because this is something that I lacked a lot of in my life, is I'm not special, man. And if I can do it, any single person out there can do it if they just would rediscover that passion they have in their soul and reignite that pilot light and get passionate once again towards not only just fitness but life, man. And I hate when people say, well, look what John did. It's like, look, I'm not fucking special. I'm just like you, man. I'm flawed. I'm fucked up. I have my own demons to fight. And I'm sitting here. The only thing is I made a viral video and got a platform, and I try and use that platform for some good. That's the only reason. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say John did something incredible. But the message is, if I can do it, dude, anybody can. But it's when they sit here and they start coming up with the excuses that it's like, no, I don't buy that anymore. It's like, no, I just, because, you know, like I said before, the greatest, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous leaders are previous alcoholics. Because they've been there and they know what it entails. And I'm sitting here saying, you know, I know what an excuse sounds like because, you know, 6 years ago, John Burke made the same excuses. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I've lived a lot of the same experiences. A lot of the experiences we talk about, a lot of the stuff we preach, we beat on in our show or you see on our Facebook page, is stuff we have lived through or friends of ours have lived through, and we've had to sit and watch it all happen. Yeah. And, I mean, dude, all I was doing is just, like, coming on and wanting to say, hey, you know, a little bit of validation for you, John Burke, is that fact that you're honest and you've lived it. And that doesn't – you're right. It doesn't make you special, and people need to stop thinking, oh, well, I'm special, or, oh, well, I want to be special. You know, and I heard a gentleman earlier on, you know, on the air talking about, you know, hey, it takes a special person to join the military. You know,
that was Derek.
I can't keep track of everybody. I can barely find time to listen to other shows, much less sit down and, you know, be able to round table with my guys before we do our show. It's crazy. We're all so busy. No, it's just I agree with it, but I don't agree with it. Okay, I mean, you have to have a certain, how do I put it? You have to have like a certain capability to even join the military, because it's not college. Okay, they don't just let anybody into the military. You have to meet. there's still standards you have to meet, and I mean, honestly, dude, I don't know how many times I've talked to a Marine recruiter on the side. You know, just hey, on the side, say, hey, man, your kid's coming, and you know, he's posting this stuff online. He's running his mouth. I was like, you're probably not seeing any of this, are you? He goes, no, I'm not. I'm like, well, you need to have a talk with him. We've had kids get booted out of the dept because they want to go and act a fool. You know, and I've seen that happen firsthand when I was working for a recruiting office and some kid tried to lie about me, say I did something that he did. Wow. And the recruiter turns around and is like, wait a minute, he's a Marine. You're just a poolee and you're trying to another, you know, about a Marine. Oh yeah, you're gone. You know, that's a standard. We still have those standards. You do that in college, and they're going to have a mediation session.
Yeah. You're cutting out.
You know, there's just okay.
No, we keep going, man. We still have.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to keep him in here. He's in and out. In and out.
Yeah, I'm
there. He goes.
Probably cutting over to a different cell there. Yeah. Sorry. No, yeah, Skype's better than phone. Yeah, sorry about that. You say so much honesty and truth, and before we even came on to the show, the radio network, I had pitched the guys. I was like, hey, man, like, we should team up with him at some point in time. And this was kind of before I knew all going on, you know, this whole us building into a radio network and stuff like that. And it was a great opportunity for everybody. But yeah, man, I just wanted to, like, give you some praise on the air, because there's always going to be people that are going to, you know, try to tear you down. But it's not because... Okay. You know, it's not because they don't like you. It's because they don't like themselves, and they want to tear you down to where they are.
Oh yeah, you know? Absolutely. And it's, you know, I don't tell a lot of people this, but it's just it's one of those struggles that anybody will go through. The moment that you stand up for yourself, the moment that you vocalize an opinion, and when I do vocalize these opinions, I try and, you know, I've said this before, I try and think of things from all angles. I try and see the coin from both sides before I formulate any opinion. I try not to look at any issue out there with a bias to an extent. But man, the moment that you want to do something with your life, the moment that you want to practice your free speech, or you want to go out there and pursue something great, you'd better be prepared, because critics will come after you left and right, like you just said, because they hate themselves for not having the audacity nor the courage to do that themselves. And it's like misery truly does love company. So when we see somebody break from the herd, it's like, in a sense, it's like, well, who do they think they are? They must think they're special. It's like, no, they think that they think like an individual. And that's, you know, that's another thing I tell people. It's like, don't, you know, don't follow the herd. Don't follow society's norms. Think for yourself. Do what you want that makes you truly happy. Just don't be a dick. You know, it's, I mean, it's just how I see things. And I don't, you know, I really don't hate people. Some people annoy the ever loving shit out of me, but I don't hate anybody except ISIS. You know, fuck those guys.
Yeah,
but it's just that when people vocalize an opinion against what I say, but they do it in a logical, respectable manner, I've got no problem there. I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely. If we can't see, like, for example, I posted this recent thing on the West Point photo of the women holding up their fists. And, you know, I just found out it was mentioned in the Army Times. Army Times did a story about it. West Point's investigating all this other stuff. But I had a kid that contacted me. He was leaving comments on the page. And, you know, he was just kind of like, John, you're trying to, like, discredit our school. But he was saying it in a very educated manner. So he private messaged me, and I gave him my phone number. And he and I had about an hour-long conversation. Very educated, very smart young individual. And he was a black man. And we both came to the realization that we're preaching the same exact thing. And it was wonderful. It was like a breath of fresh air to sit there and talk to this kid and say, wow, we can, you know, we can. It was nice to have a very good, even a debate. It was just a conversation where we heard one another out and came to the understanding. It's like, oh, we're saying the same thing. How about that? But, you know, it was really nice when people present themselves in a very logical manner rather than based off simply emotion. Then I just can't listen. And I have no respect for that opinion. It's like you need to formulate some thought before you just react off of a knee-jerk reaction with emotion. So.
Oh, yeah, no, and you'd, again, agree with that. We've had multiple times where people have hit our inbox and they're, you know, just tearing into us. And, I mean, granted, there's a group of us that run JTOTS, and you can see us sometimes, man. Like this morning, I got on the page and I started tearing through comments and I started just ripping on people. I was like, you know, you want to sit here and you want to come at us and everything we've built out, and you want to say that we're attacking these people. We're not attacking them. You're attacking them. You're in some way you want to discredit them, but you're going to project that on us and say, oh, well, you're doing this. No, man, here's what's going on, okay? And you need to take a step back and reevaluate how you look at things. Don't come here and tell us all these things. It's, again, it's projection. People want to take what they feel, what they think, and they want to project it on others, and they want to make others feel guilty, especially those of us that are very empathetic. You know, that have been there, that want to feel sympathy when somebody's in pain, and they don't want to see people in pain. You know, I think part of the reason a lot of people join the military is because they just want to help people. You know, they may not understand what they want to do, but somewhere deep down inside, they want to help people. And I can't, you know, why we should harness that more. Maybe that's, you know, the next step is we should be able to harness that more instead of, you know, holding everybody's hand. No, you know what? Help each other out. We're not going to help you. Help each other out. That's what a team does. I mean, I've seen motivational speakers talk about that. If you had a chance to watch any of, like, say, Marcus Luttrell's videos that he's done, you know, he's gone to motivational speaking and stuff like that. He talks about that. One of the first things he went through when he was a kid, and he, you know, there was a local guy that helped train guy, you know, to help train kids who were trying to pipeline the Navy SEAL program, stuff like that. He goes, you know, me, my brother, and some friends, we went down there, and holy smokes, the first thing he did was basically he hazed the shit out of them, and he made them understand that if they were going to succeed, they had to work as a team. And everybody, you know, hey, I get it. We are all individuals. That's what makes us all the same. In the end, we are all the same because we're all individuals.
You're breaking up a little bit, brother.
Shit.
You dropped him.
I think he hit, maybe he hit the cell tower.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up for the night. It's been a very, Yeah, I kind of want to start shortening these episodes a little bit because, you know, an hour 15 minutes is about nice. 2 hours is a little bit long. It starts to, you know. But anyway, thank you all for listening in. Thank you all for the comments. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the support. Thank you to Derek for coming on. It was very nice to speak with you.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And again, it was nice to be able to sit there and discuss this in a very logical manner. And, you know, I think definitely this interview showed a lot more depth to Derek than people even realize exists. You know, the guy isn't just – he does funny videos. I get it. But there's more to it than just that when you want to talk about something so serious. So
– no, you're right. And like I said, he got attacked without really being able to get his full message out. And you got to hear it tonight. It was awesome.
Yeah, and people don't understand. It's like when you do a video on the internet, you know, it needs to be within 3 to 5 minutes long. Anything over than that, and you're going to lose their attention, and it's got to be shocking right off the get-go. I can pretty much tell you when I'm going to do a rant if it's going to go viral or not, because I can go back and rewatch and say this isn't going to hold their attention. They're not going to pay attention to this. So that's why, you know, in motivational speaking and teaching in the classroom, like we learned as a drill sergeant and as SGL, you spit your motivator first. And that motivator's got to have some shock and awe because it's going to draw their attention and help them focus in on the class. And after that, then you hit them with some knowledge and you just keep the fire going. So again, you know, Derek made a very short video and he had to be basically said like a 2-hour long conversation huddled down into 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And people will just go simply off of that and just, you know, hoist the flag and say, oh, he's a piece of shit. Like, no, he's not. Yeah. The guy has a great message. You're just not seeing it. You're seeing the superficial. You're not looking through to what the message is. He's saying we have the potential to be great, but you're going to have to save yourself.
I say this at least once a day in my life. People are stupid.
I really People do. Are stupid.
Every day I say
On the
that.
Internet, everybody's a badass.
Yeah. All right. We're listening to Fire for Effect Radio, John Burke, myself, Dan, on VetRS.com, brought to you by Grenade and In the Arena Fitness.com. We done?
Oh, yeah, I'm finished. Let's take it on out. Right. Take it on home, Sparky.
All right, taking it home.
When I go home, people ask me, hey, who? Why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word.
Shit. And people ask me, hey, Deuce, what are you doing, man? Why? You trying to be some kind of superstar or something? And I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand.
Yeah. So Deuce, we straight, give me a dinner plate. Now load it up with all these rappers, let me demonstrate. Watch me devour them one at a time. It don't take a telescope to see I'm one of a kind. Soldier, let me off the leash, now the monster's loose. Soldier, let me off the leash, now the so is my group. RC1MG, if you don't know what I rep. With all this fire that I'm spitting, my throat stay with the strip. I tell them haters, stay in step before you fall out of line. And if you looking for me, I'm probably at you on my grind.
Bring it back like a refund. Don't test me, I'm looking for a reason. He done lost his mind trying to elevate. So good they trying to get me like the flake cake.
Y'all really want that beef, I'ma kill this beat. For the ones overseas, for the soldiers, sailors, and marines. The M and 2, I'ma bring that heat.
Cause we don't do it for the money, nah. We don't do it for the fame, nah. We just do it cause we know we gotta elevate. Yeah, we gotta elevate. And they say life is a test, and without no struggle there can be no progress. We don't for the money, nah. We don't do it for the fame, nah. We just do it cause we know we gotta elevate. Yeah, yeah, we gotta elevate. And they say life is a test, and without no struggle there could be no progress.
We gotta
do this for our KA, our gold star fans, yeah. We don't do this for the limelight, yeah, someone understands, uh-huh. For our war fighters fighting overseas in foreign lands, for the ones in Afghanistan fighting Taliban, yeah. For the ones getting no sleep with rifles in hand, standing that post for years straight away from the fence. I do what I love, we bring faith, perform for vets in strangest place. Song after song and the hurt go away, after the show's done we in their face. Yeah, letting them know we understand, yeah, we Redcon 1, yeah, we do this for our fans. We do this for the 23 a day who pass away, yeah, yeah, we do this for the faith that many lives could be saved. For our warfighter family who needs some uplifting, as long as they're deployed, our music will keep sending. Money will keep spinning, uh-huh. Someone's gotta lift them up, cause yeah. There's no other music group like Redcon 1.
Cause we don't do it for the money, nah. We don't do it for the fame, nah. We just do it cause we know we gotta elevate. Yeah, we gotta elevate. And they
take you to a place where you don't feel under attack. Let me take you on a journey, bruh. Forget your case and your attorney, bruh.
Forget it.
Cause they will never understand. It's a journey to the message panel. Tell them what's the plan. Yeah. What's the